Well, amen. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to share what the Lord has done in my life. If we could, just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our dear God, we do love you this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father, for being our Papa. Father, I always can't fathom, Lord, that you created us out of dust. We are just such a small creature on this earth, but still you had a perfect plan for us. You sent your Son Jesus so that we meant to have salvation. Father God, we do love you, Lord, that you have thought of us when you created us, that you had that perfect plan for us. So, Lord, I just pray that this morning, Lord, that you would anoint my lips, Father, that only the words would come forth that you want to come forth, and Lord, that this testimony does not come forward in condemning other people, but rather in lifting up the work that you have done and pulling me out of darkness. Father, I just pray for all the listeners this morning and that may listen to this testimony throughout the week. Father, if there is any that have not come to that place where they can comprehend salvation, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in their life. Father, we just bless you this morning. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. Well, I have been asked to share my testimony, and I want to do that. I want to thank the Lord this morning that I do have a testimony. Growing up, I had one time a man ask me if I am born again, and I said, well, I am not sure, but now there is no doubt in my mind. Probably one of the first things that I really remember as a sin in my life was while going to school. Our school was very immoral, and of course I fell into those sins. It grieves my heart to see how many of the schools in the plain settings that you hear that have fallen into that sin. You know, there's times when I ponder the Nickel Mines school incident, and when I see what that man had intentions of doing to that children, it is very clear why God chose a school in a plain setting like that to have that happen. I think, I just pray that many people will take that warning and ponder why something like that happened to a school where, in a setting where some of those immoral things happen so often. At the age of 16, I did not want to join the youth. By nature, I was one that would rather just be alone. I don't say I was a loner, but I just wanted to do my own thing. I knew what would happen if I joined youth. And, of course, when I did finally give up and join the youth crowd, those things did happen. Like many of them, alcohol was a big factor in my life. I spent many weekend and just drowning out my thoughts. But something that I think was more influencing to me than alcohol was rock music. I was very heavily influenced by that. The band that I liked the most was one that during concert, some of the musicians would wear a set of horns to represent the devil. And I worshipped those type of musicians Sunday mornings. Now, in between church Sundays, I would always listen to, there was a station that would play their most demonic music Sunday mornings. Of all mornings, they picked Sunday mornings. And I just loved tuning in to that and listening to it. But I did have some teachings at an early age. My father, with the knowledge that he had, was very faithful in teaching us out of the Arthur Maxwell Bible stories. He would, every Sunday evening, I would beg him to read us the story. So there was some conviction in my life. It's not like going through this life of being involved in demonic music that it was a norm. It wasn't. It was something that pricked my conscience, but it was something that I loved. And looking back now, I see it was a form of witchcraft. You know, we look at witchcraft as many different things, but I was letting something captivate my mind that was not of God. And I think many times that is what witchcraft does. It draws people's minds to thinking that these may work. It may be in alternative medicines. It could be in many things. And I finally kind of came to the end of myself. I was tired of that life, and I just didn't know what to do. I thought, well, I am going to move out west. I'm just going to move out. I'm going to be kind of a loner. I just work on a ranch or work as a hunting guide or whatever I could find. But I decided before that I was interested in this one young lady, and that was one of the first times I went down on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm going to just surrender this to you. It kind of amazes me now how I could actually go down on my knees and pray to God, even though I did not have a relationship with him. But I see now that God was trying to draw me. There was a time in my life that there is a verse in Genesis where it talks about God not striving with men. But I don't think that was the case there. I think God was trying to draw me. So I did ask this young lady if she would consider a relationship with me, and she accepted. And my life really changed after that. It seemed like life had a purpose. That young lady is now my wife, and I do thank the Lord for her. She has helped me through many of those struggles of being inferior, not feeling like I was not accepted. A lot of things that the devil just placed in my mind, because I feel I left the devil play with my mind through all of that. Probably the biggest influence was rock music. And before that, some of my friends were getting into drugs, but I knew that was something I did not want to do. And I thank the Lord today many times that he kept me from those things. There were things that it seemed the Lord, may I say, left me go that far just to, I followed my heart into the things, but the Lord still kept me from some of the wickedness that was out there. So I became a member of the Amish church, and the reason was because I wanted to get married. It was not because I had any conviction. It was not because I had a testimony to share. It was because it was something I needed to do to get married. And I tremble when I think of that, how I could just go and get baptized with no conviction. I shouldn't say no conviction. I did have conviction, but not having a testimony for the Lord. But looking back now, I see a lot of it was a lack of teaching, and even that they did not ask me for a testimony. Yes, they did ask me if I believed in Jesus, which I did. I had no doubt that the Lord Jesus was created to forgive the sins of the people, but that was about my extent of it. It was nothing personal. We did get married. The Lord blessed us with a daughter. And that left a seriousness settle upon my heart, seeing that I was now responsible for this child. And at one point in my married life, I remember it was probably the first or second winter after we were married, where I would actually evening sit down and try to read the Word of God. I had a hunger. I really had a desire. Back when my father would usually read these Bible stories to me, I remember thinking, someday I want to be like one of those men that loved the Lord. And that hunger had never left me. And the winter that I started reading the Word of God, I tried, but there just didn't seem like there was anything there that would draw me. The year of 2000 was coming closer. I tried not to be alarmed by it, but when you start seeing how different places were offering beds, so in case the computers would crash, the electricity would go out, that people would have a place to sleep, I must say that it put a fear in my heart, because I knew I was not ready to meet my Maker. I knew enough, I had enough of teaching, that I knew I was not ready, but I did not really know how to prepare for it, because I was a member of the church. Most of those sins that I had done were before I was baptized. So I kind of felt, well, when I was baptized, that should be the forgiveness part. I did not need to really take them to the church because they had happened before I was baptized. And I remember very well of the evening before New Year's of the year of 2000. I just had that eerie feeling in my heart. And I remember very well waking up the next morning also, thinking, wow, I'm still alive. Here I am, looking out, and New Year's morning, so we had slept a little later, and the sun was starting to come up over the horizon. I thought, boy, I'm alive. This is wonderful. Nothing happened, and looked out, and seeing the cars are still going, and I probably even checked the dial tone on the telephone just to see what was happening there. But the Lord really started doing a work in my life. I had a desperation within me to get right with God. I enjoyed talking about spiritual things with my coworkers. I had if people would have known, or most people that have not known me very well would think that I was a man that loved the Lord, because I could talk. I could talk the spiritual things. I worked with some men that confessed to be born again. And I remember very well, one day I was working with a man that I asked him, I said, there was a few men that I worked with that confessed to be born again, so I asked one of these other men, I said, how can these men say they know they're going to heaven? And this man that I asked the question to was a man that was in and out of prison, but he had also some very good Bible knowledge. And he said in such a calm way, well, the Bible says that if you believe, you shall not perish. And that really struck something deep in my heart. I started desperately crying out to God. I knew I was lost. I knew something needed to change, but I did not know how to get a hold of it. It was to the point where I remember one day, at that time I was a hunter. I was sitting at my tree stand and I was just crying out to God. I said, Lord, do whatever it takes. I was desperate. I said, Lord, there is something wrong. Do whatever it takes, even if it means the death of someone close. And I tremble now thinking of how I said that, because I know the Lord heard my prayer, because it was out of a desperate heart crying for the Lord. In the next year or two, it just seemed nothing really happened. But about 2 years after that, the week of Thanksgiving, my father got diagnosed with cancer. And the day before Christmas, he passed away. So that was within about 4 weeks' time of the time he got diagnosed, so he passed away. And I was at his bedside when he passed away. And it really did something to my life. I was able to talk to him over that time where we still felt he may be alive. He was on a breathing machine, so I don't know if he actually heard me. But I was able to talk to him. And my sisters later commented on how they were surprised that I could express myself to him. So I had enough of spiritual knowledge that I had some insight on it, and I remember of wanting to pray out loud with all my brothers and sisters there, but just not having the courage to do it. So looking back, God was answering my prayers. He was drawing me to himself. But inside, I still knew I was wretched because I had a tremendous fear of dying. But after my father passed away, it seemed I kind of got my comfort by being a very, being a person that could really talk spiritual, being a person that looked good. In the outside, I looked like a very fine man that probably many Christians would have even questioned if maybe I did have a relationship with the Lord, because it appeared that way. During that time, I worked with a man that confessed to be an atheist, and his mother-in-law passed away, and he was just devastated. He could not deal with the fact that someone close to him passed away. So I just, looking back now, I see that the Lord was drawing me. I see that he was doing a work in my life. And I thank the Lord for that drawing of my spirit. But what really stood out to me on this man that confessed to be an atheist was that he could not deal with it, the death, but I could. I found the comfort in God to cry out to him, and I see that the Lord was answering my prayers. In the year of 2006, I got the opportunity to work at home. My wife had a little bakery, and we considered buying another bakery business so we could combine it and make a living. And I decided to do that. And in the meantime, just before I had quit, we met a dear couple that loved the Lord. They were a taxi driver, and it's interesting how we met. This man was a banker, and he got convicted to spend more time with his boys. His boys were struggling spiritually, and he got convicted to spend more time at home with them, and he decided to be a taxi driver. Well, just before I had quit my job, at a time where I must say the Lord was really doing a work in my life, because that was a big step. I worked at this one company for about 9.5 years. I worked my way up in seniority. I was a leader in the company I was with. So the Lord sent that dear couple in just the right time, because I was one questioning if God actually wants me to work at home, but it seems things were very clear. And the way we met this couple was, one day we wanted to go to a birthday party, which was actually wanted to go that evening, and my wife had tried to get a driver to no success, because it was quite a few miles away, and we didn't want to drive our horse and buggy up there. So she decided, well, Lord, if you don't want us to go, then she just decided to go out to the local grocery store here and do a little shopping. And as she walked in, a lady walked in behind her and said to the lady at the cashier, she said, "My husband would like to be a taxi driver. Can I post one of my cards here on your board?" And my wife turned around and said, "Well, would he like to start tonight?" And they agreed to it. So we were one of his first customers. And the first thing I noticed with this man was he had something I did not have. The way he chose his words, the way he talked about the Lord, I just saw that this man had something I did not have. And I would actually try to get him as a driver every time I could, just to ride with him, to talk to him about the Lord. And I remember so well one Saturday, I was at home, and I was just really seeking the Lord. In the meantime, the business that we were going to buy to combine with our bakery business, we did not feel clear on it, or my wife and I did not feel clear on it, so we decided to just go with our little bakery business that we had down in the basement. We knew our income would be cut in half, and it took me down to my knees, crying to the Lord to have mercy on us, because I knew financially it did not look possible, and to leave my job with all my benefits and come home and not have any benefits, it just didn't look possible. So the one Saturday, I was just really crying out to God. And finally, I called this taxi driver. His name was Steve. And I said, "Steve, I have a few questions for you about the Word of God. When would be a good time to talk to you about it?" And praise the Lord. Lord put it on his heart. He said, "Well, could I be right over?" I think he realized he had someone here that was spiritually hungry. And he came over right away, and one of the first things that I said to him was, I said, I do not want to be left behind on Judgment Day. I knew I was not ready to meet God. But still, I kept hanging on to this thing of, well, I was baptized. Most of these sins were before my baptism. So I kept hanging on to that. But then when Steve asked me, he said, "So if you would die tonight, do you think you would go to heaven?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, a few weeks ago, I took a trip by myself for a day or two, and I remember while waiting on my ride, I was thinking of leaving my family for a day or two, and I did have kind of a peaceful feeling about it, but still, I can't say I quite felt clear that if I would die, that I would go to heaven. But I tried to tell Steve that, well, I think I just stuttered around. And finally I said, no, I'm not perfect, and he finally said, I understand, which I know he did very well. He knew I did not have a testimony. He knew I wasn't born again. He knew I was desperately searching. He showed me some scriptures, like John 3:16, about the Lord. And suddenly those scriptures had a complete new meaning. I've heard them being recited in German time after time after time. But suddenly, they opened my eyes. He just shared with me about believing, about trusting God for salvation. And he prayed with me. And after a while, he left. And I think it was about 2 weeks after that where I finally came to the end of myself. I would continuously go up to upstairs in my dorm where it was kind of my prayer closet, and I would just cry out to God. And I would, many times I would confess my sins. But this one time, there is no doubt in my mind that I came to the foot of my cross, or at the foot of the cross of Jesus, and I just dumped my bucket. I just brought everything to the Lord, and I just cried out to him. I asked him to accept me the way I was. I confessed my sins the best way I knew how to do. At this time, I still had, may I say, no teaching of what salvation really was, except by the Word of God. And it just seems the Lord met me right where I was with the lack of teaching that I had. He was faithful. He saved me. And I remember so well walking out of the barn that day and just thinking, am I born again? I just had this feeling something happened that time. That prayer was different. And I believed. I decided that time I was going to believe. Because I know the Bible tells us that if we bring our sins before the Lord Jesus, He is faithful to forgive us. And He did. And that summer, it was amazing how the Word of God became alive. I could not get enough of it. Usually I would, back before I was converted, Sunday was the only time I would read the Bible. And most times when I would read it, I would grab my Bible and I would grab maybe a hunting or fishing magazine, because I knew after I was done reading my Bible, I was going to read one of those magazines. So it's kind of, the Bible was just a thing to me that I knew we should do. I still remember Sunday evenings, usually before I was converted, when it was about bedtime, how I had such a dreadful, empty feeling, thinking that another Sunday went by, what did I do for God? It seemed like I could not do enough for God. It seemed like I, regardless how much I read the Word of God, that I just wasn't quite good enough for Him. But after we were converted, I became so hungry for the Word, I just could not get enough of it. The same thing happened to my wife over that time, and we just, the Bible was the only book we would read. These magazines that came, that the only time I would read them is between our house and the mailbox, which is only about maybe 100 feet. So, other than that, the magazines would go into the trash, and the Word of God just became so alive. And I just thank the Lord how our spirits connected. It was just suddenly through that one prayer how our spirits just connected. And that summer, Steve, the taxi driver, introduced me to the Fountain of Life. They were having a couple brothers at Ephrata were getting together Saturday mornings and teaching. The first one was Brother John D. Martin was going through the Sermon on the Mount. And I was just astonished. I had heard the Sermon on the Mount in German many times. But here, I mean, I realize John D. is a very good teacher. He has a way of expounding things beyond what you can imagine. But it was just the Sermon on the Mount. It was Matthew 5, something I have heard, I have studied, but the way he brought it out, I just seen how undone I was and how I had to just trust in the Lord Jesus for my salvation. I saw there was absolutely no way that I could get to heaven without him. And the principles that Brother John D. brought out about adultery, about many of those things, I had to time after time again just come to the Lord and repent of another sin that I had not realized that was still in me. It seemed like after I converted, I sinned more. But what it was is God was making it clear to me. God was sanctifying me. He was doing a work in my life. And I remember so well just listening to those messages out in our little phone shanty. I started listening to the Sunday church service. At that time, and we still do, we live doubled with my wife's parents, so we shared the phone, so I had to be careful when I do it that he wouldn't notice me. So I would usually, Sunday church service message, I would either listen to, many times I would get up early Monday morning, like 3 or 4 o'clock, before I knew my father-in-law was up, so I could listen to the message. I don't think I missed any messages for quite a while, because we were so hungry. That was my only source of actually having true teaching. And that fall, we got invited to the, once again, Steve, my dear friend, taxi driver, invited us to the youth Bible school. It was Sunday evenings. He said that there's a Bible school up in Ephrata where some youths get together for a week-long Bible school. He said it's a very intense Bible school. And then Sunday evenings, they will sing. And he wondered if we'd want to go. I said, sure. At that time, we didn't think it looked that threatening. I still had no intentions of ever leaving my plain setting because I felt there was so much security in there. And we went, and praise the Lord, I was not prepared for what we were going to see. Here were thousands of people. They were rejoicing in the Lord. Jerry Mahor had a salvation message, and here was men that were listening. They were sitting on the edge of their seat, and they were saying, praise the Lord and hallelujah. And these youth standing up on the risers, 600-something youth standing on the risers and singing. It was just beyond what I ever imagined there could be. I didn't think anything like that could ever happen in this side of eternity. But one thing that did make us kind of feel uncomfortable was we met some people that had formerly been Amish, people that we had heard that kind of have this Fermat Glava. So I see now that pride was a very big issue in my life yet. We had pride in thinking that we could still be in the setting that we were. We had pride in thinking that we were not one of those people that had this strange doctrine, but the Lord did quite a work in our life after that. Probably one of the first things was after the Bible school. By that time, we had 3 children. My wife said to me, well, don't you think we would send our children to that Bible school when they get older? And I said, no, honey, there is no way. I mean, they would go to that Bible school, and then they would come back the Sunday after with their friends, and it just, there would be too big of a contrast. and the Lord really touched our heart out of that conversation, we realize that we need to make a choice. Do we want our youth, our children that we love, to grow up? They have a choice Sunday evenings of standing up on those risers or being out with the youth, being influenced by the youth groups. Now, I'm not saying there is no peer pressure with 600 youth. I think we all understand that there may be some peer pressure there. But I think for the majority of them, they were there to, out of sincerity of their heart, to praise the Lord. And we were really touched by that. It just, Lord just touched my heart in thinking that, well, I don't think we will ever be able to send our children to such a Bible school because it's going to be too big of a contrast for them to come back into an Amish setting. But still, we knew it was something we wanted for our children. And the Lord really started dealing with our heart, asking us, where are we putting our security? Is it Jesus Christ? Or is it the actual church standards? Where are we putting our full trust? And the Lord would bring out many scriptures in the Bible talking about separating ourselves from unbelievers, talking about being yoked together with unbelievers. And I realized that many of the people in the church we were attending did not believe the way we did. If I would have expressed how I felt, they said I would have had a strange doctrine, but I knew in my heart it was not a strange doctrine. It was the love of Jesus Christ that was within me. And probably one of the next things that really was a major stepping stone in our life was Brother Steve Clark. Brother Steve Coleman and Steve Clark were taking turns teaching on the Fountain of Life. Brother Steve Coleman was teaching on 1 John. He had it pointed out as lines in the sand. What he meant by that was how in 1 John, if you go through that, I think he picked out 10 points that talk about things, if we love the Lord, we will do. And Brother Steve Clark had a message on Cain and Abel. I should back up a little bit. The Sunday after Bible school, once again, I listened to the message, the church service, the main message, and it was on trust. There again, it was on a Monday morning. It was cold. It was in November. I think Bible school usually the first week in November or somewhere in that time. So here I was huddled out in the little phone shanty listening to an hour and a half long message. You can imagine that however cold it was that I was shaking. I was cold. But Preacher Mose had a message on trust. He said he sees it so clearly that so many of these students come, they say they love the Lord, but they don't trust Him. They don't trust God for the promises that are in the Bible about if you believe in Him, you shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Word of God clearly says that God cannot lie. And that message, I remember, I sat in that little phone booth and I wept. It just hit me so hard, I realized where my trust was. My trust was still, some of it was still in the church standards. My trust was not all in Jesus. And I think at that point yet, up till that point, the assurance of salvation was not, I was not quite clear on it yet. It was something that I was taught for 30 years that a person cannot know he has assurance. We hope. We live on hope that we can get there, but it was not a living hope. And that message was so clear to me that I pictured myself as one of those Bible school students not trusting God for salvation. And that was one time I can say that I came very clear on the assurance. It just cleared some things up. But moving on, Brother Steve Pluck had a teaching on Cain and Abel. He talked about how they brought their offerings before the Lord. Cain brought the fruits of the land. Now, if we think about it, I'm sure Cain worked very hard to till the land and to bring this fruit before the altar. But what did his brother Abel bring? He just simply brought a lamb. The blood of that lamb was sufficient in God's eyes for sacrifice. And that really opened my eyes up. Was I still putting my trust in my works? Or was I totally trusting the blood of that lamb? It was a message that I won't forget. It made it so clear to me that it must only be through the blood of the lamb. If we compare ourselves with God, our most righteous works, if we compare them with God in Isaiah, we read about the angels coming before him, how they cover their faces and only sing, holy, holy, holy. If we compare all of our good works, our best works before God, it's not going to do it. It's not sufficient. It has to be just simply trusting in the blood of that lamb. And that very next day, church services were held at our place. And the minister preached on not having any teaching outside the Amish church. And it was just amazing how just the Saturday before, the teaching was on it's only through the blood of Jesus. And the very next Sunday, sitting in our church service, the teaching was on false prophets and never listening to anyone that is not from the plain background. And it was just such a big contrast. I was not being fed where I was, but still, these outside teachers were lining their teaching up with the Word of God. So we knew we had to, it was becoming very clear we had to make a choice. One of the next things, communion was coming up, and it just amazes me how communion just does such work in people's lives if they're still living in traditions, if they're basing their hope on the standards of their church. It seems they go to communion thinking they just aren't quite good enough. They just don't feel, they feel like when the bishop talks about all the standards that they just can't live up to all of them. And the thing that touched me was knowing that I am going to go to communion and partake of communion with people that did not believe. In 1 Corinthians, it makes it very clear, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And I knew that I was getting ready to go to communion, taking part of this, of communion with people that were not believers, with people that were saying that if you listen to outside teaching, it's heresy. And one thing that I was very strong on was I am not going to lie about my faith, and I just had to make a choice. Because I was not going to go to communion and partake of it just so I could get through another year with the Amish Church. The Lord put a heavy enough conviction on my heart that I could not do it. So we decided we needed to make a choice. With that choice, we got much opposition. All of our workers in our bakery left, but the day we made the Sunday where we really made it publicly that we are no longer going to be attending the Amish church. The very next day, a Mennonite lady walks in and says, "My daughter is looking for work. Would it be possible that she could have a job here?" And we saw that the Lord was going to provide, and He has. The Lord has been so faithful to us. It seems we see miracle after miracle. And the thing that I want to express, I see my time is up. The thing that I want to express is being open and clear before God. If there's anyone out there, I would just want to plead with you. If you're going, doesn't matter what church body you're with, if you're going just to try to please the ministers with to meet up to the standards of the church, of their church, it's not going to come out in the end. It's through the blood of Jesus. And I just want to plead to you. A question that I have in the end is to those that I'm not saying everyone needs to make a step like I did, but a question I have is, do you really want to hold out on what God has for you? As long as you are in a setting where you have to put a basket over your light, where you have to put a cover over your candle that is shining, your faith, if you have to cover your faith up in Jesus Christ because you're afraid the church will find out about it, I just beg that you would stand up for the Lord Jesus. So I'd like to end it with that. There is many more things that I could share. There is many scriptures that talk to me. I guess I could go on and on, but I want to bring it to an end. And I just want to encourage whoever is out there, whoever is listening, that is living under a bondage. God does not want us to live under a bondage. And maybe you do not feel you are in a bondage, and I thank the Lord for that. But the question I have for you is, who are you putting your faith in, your trust, your all in all? Is it your standards? Are you doing it just so you can meet up to the standards of your church? I just ask that you would picture yourself in a room and God would walk in. What would be your reaction? Would you quickly try to change maybe the way you dress, or maybe quickly try to hide something that you have? Or do you feel like, yes, you're not perfect, but by the blood of Jesus, He has accepted you? That is just my prayer. If I may, could we just close with a word of prayer? Father in heaven, Lord God, I just pray that whoever's out there that has not accepted that blood, that they would just cry out to you, put all their trust in you, put their faith in you, and that good works would flow out of their love for Jesus Christ. I just pray in His working name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All praise and glory be to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I just want to bless you for sharing this morning. Any comments this morning? 5-star will let us know if you want to speak or not. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a question for Brother Levi.
Yes, Levi, it's a blessing to hear your testimony. I've never heard your testimony in detail like this. It's amazing how God can work. Pull you out of the bondages of the yummy. So it's a real blessing to hear God, and God gets all the glory because there's nothing man can do to come in a position where you are. We can just help other people along. So it's a real blessing to hear you.
Amen.
Your testimony.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Levi. This is Mose. I sure enjoyed hearing your testimony this morning. What a blessing it is to, as we look back and as we see where we've come from and the, you know, how God is continues to lead and draw us closer to Him, and we have deeper insight into the Word of God, and we can, it's just so beautiful. I just praise God for what God has done in my life and in your life and many others. So, thanks again, Brother Levi.
Something I just can't thank the Lord enough is, even though the lack of teaching that I had, that we did not have to wander around for a while trying to find a body of believers. It just seemed like the Lord made it so clear. He just ushered us along from one place right to the next, and we did not have to sort through all of that, false doctrine that's going on out there. I just thank the Lord for that.
Amen. I guess I would encourage each one to examine our hearts of Levi's challenge there at the end of where is your trust? Who are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? And how does that come into play when we have faith in the Lord Jesus?
Brother Don, if I may just say this yet, I think you remember very well the evening you and I were down in New Year's Eve when you and I were down in Philly.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how when we're walking the streets there about how when you ask people where their trust is, how so often you can hear that their trust is in religion, not relation.
That's right.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or, if you would rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Mose, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.